We're a week after the election. The Republicans are slicing themselves up, determining who's going to lead them in the Congress that they kind of sort of control. And Donald Trump has an announcement to make. And Lori Lightfoot is still fighting it out, trying to become the next mayor when she has no bleeping clue. She's Donald Trump on pantsuits. But the real Donald Trump has an announcement to make. Is he going to jump the shark here? What is jumping the shark anyway? And if you say Donald Trump jumping the shark, are you jumping the shark by using that outdated terminology? Today on the Chicago Way, we're going to ask Jeff Carlin, master of cats, baker of pies, future physics teacher in Illinois or perhaps elsewhere. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, Greek Orthodox Christian, editor-in-chief of your favorite website, johncassnews.com. And where are you? With Donald Trump wearing the Fonzie leather jacket, water skiing, and about to jump the shark? You're on the Chicago Way podcast, the No Chump Alone Zone, on WGN Plus.
There he goes!
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
John, the Fonz on some water skis, jumping the shark. One of those moments that even if you've never seen it, you know what it is. It's classic. And I think skiing, water skiing, water sports with leather goods on, I think we should bring that back. What do you think, Jeff?
And I'm sitting here at the edge of the beautiful backyard here in Sanctuary, Cass Sanctuary, where I don't have to wear a gun to go to the Walgreens. But you know what? I almost put on, I shaved, showered, got to get ready for this podcast, and almost was thinking about putting some Brill cream in my hair in a bed in honor of jumping the shark. But you know what? I never liked Fonzie.
Right.
Never liked that show. And I don't even like using jumping the shark because to me, it's like saying cat's pajamas or something.
Cat's pajamas.
Right? I don't even know what that means.
Right.
23 Skidoo. But okay, let's get to the what we're doing here. John Cass and Jeff Carlin, we don't have a guest because sometimes we just want to hang out by ourselves and invite you guys to step on the corner with us on the Chicago Way.
Exactly. Give us John and I once, you know, we'd like to have the guests on. We also like to kind of just decompress the week's news or
no bleep.
Right. And what a week of news ahead of us here as we
and behind
and behind. But as we get about a week away from the midterm election, which, as you called, was the red ripple. What's been bugging me, John,
is
not that I support Trump or anything like that or don't support Trump. That's not my point. It's the idea that the media is like latched on to this idea that, if we say it loud enough. You know, Trump's he's going to go away. You know, it's the inverse of say his name three times, Beetlejuice. Right. But they've been seeking out Republicans and saying, hey, you know, what do you think now after the midterms? You still think, you know, the 60% of you that wanted to say you might vote for him again? Does that still true? That still hold? Because, you know, look what happened. Like, they were kind of leading them down this path. And almost all of the clips that I've seen.
Who's writing this nonsense for them?
Right.
Kellyanne Conway's husband, George, the Trump hater, you know, right. Or you go around and get maybe Adam Kinzinger. I know you like the guy. I don't.
Right.
I know you see don't. Him as a 100% weasel, but other people like him. And so maybe Kinzinger is writing, you know, this stuff, like sending notes to his media friends in Chicago. let's like get Trump again.
Yeah.
Can they do it? And is it even necessary right. now after these,
yeah, it's like, I don't know. To me, it comes across as sure. There's certainly, I'm sure people are like, oh, you know, maybe I'm questioning it. But it's the idea of like the Jimmy Kimmel man on the street thing. You know, you get somebody isolated and they don't want to say the wrong thing in front of the camera. And so they kind of just parrot back what you just said to them. I mean, that's what we're seeing with a lot of this. And I'm sure if people are given a couple of options outside of a Trump who are somebody who's like capable showing that they can run the second largest state in the union and has done a great job at handling COVID and has a fantastic response to natural disasters.
And lovely wife who's had a beautiful family and he stood by her right? during and he can't stand Disney, just like the rest of us with a brain, can't stand Disney.
Right. So if there was some sort of hypothetical
peanut butter, are you bleeping
I know, kidding right? me? Jeez.
Right.
So if
get
there was
off
some
the small world ride, and there's all the junk that you don't have to buy.
Right. Okay. Exactly. So if there was some hypothetical candidate out there like that who was an alternative to Trump, I assume people would choose him only because Trump is such a flawed character. And, you know, this other hypothetical seems like they could handle the job pretty well. So there's probably some truth to it, John. But what I mean, everybody is wringing their arms over this, including the members of Congress, because the red Whipple is not the red wave. Where do we stand on Mitch McConnell?
Well, that's OK. That's an interesting thing, because I'm for the Republican senator from Kentucky. But not Mitch McConnell, the other one, Rand Paul.
Right.
I still want to go down and drink bourbon with Rand Paul. Didn't we have him on the podcast?
We did, yes.
Right. And he said, let's go drink some bourbon. And that's the guy I wanted to to run for president, because he stood against the wars. He's kind of like the Tulsi Gabbard of the Republican Party.
Sure, yeah.
You know, he stood against those stupid wars where people got killed and blown up by IEDs and Republican politicians talk about sacrifice and honor. You know, I mean, I really want to give them all a mutzah. But here's the thing about Mitch McConnell. He's the establishment type I hate.
Right.
And I can't give you an honest answer here, because as far as I'm concerned, McConnell and McCarthy toss them in the garbage.
That's the thing. There was a quote running from Josh Hawley from Iowa,
Missouri.
Sorry. You know, I get west of Mississippi and it all blurs.
Thinking of like that apple cheeked white guy.
You know? Right. Exactly. But, he's calling for the GOP to kind of the grand old party to kind of reinvent themselves and throw out the old.
It's
and
so
the
new. Precious too.
I know it is. But I mean, there is some not, you know, they've, in my opinion, I think the GOP, when they nominated Trump, kind of hit a low point, only because I don't think he was, like you said, Rand Paul was there. There were plenty of other people I think were better, you know, could have brought us together. And they were going to be facing up a flawed candidate in Hillary. So clearly they didn't need a rock star beyond.
You're missing something.
What am I missing, John?
I might not like Trump personally, but I understand what his value is to the people who voted for him. And there's like 75, 80 million people who love the guy.
Yeah.
So let's not just be like that idiot, like Chuck Todd on NBC or some of these other like flaming libs to just
I maybe misspoke. My point was they nominated him, not that the voters picked him and voted for him. I mean, you're going up against a Hillary. I mean, my point was really more a well-polished Bush should have been able to beat. And I don't mean not a dynasty Bush, but like a tree, you know, put together in the right
really.
Spot.
I love you, but I respectfully disagree, because the appeal to Trump, the appeal of Trump is that he doesn't wear loafers to politics. He puts on steel-toed boots and kicks them in the special purpose again and again, and loves it and laughs maniacally. And you know what, people, here's the thing. People vote against things as much as they vote for things. I would much rather, Tulsi as the Democratic candidate. Rand Paul is the Republican.
Exactly.
They could both hold, like, what is the greater good?
That should have been the matchup that we deserved, but we were stuck with the Hillary.
But we're not going to get it.
No, exactly. But John, what do you think of this? I got an idea. You know how they had the Civilian Conservation Corps. It was this whole idea there, you know, we got to fix all these things, make these things, it'll be good for our children, yada, yada, yada. Now we have all these great parks. Okay.
Like the Hoover Dam, we could sing Woody Guthrie comedy songs
exactly.
while we're working on the government, the dime, lifting barrels of sawdust or
exactly.
cement.
Well, I, this doesn't have to be publicly funded by taxes, but I think both parties should get together and start an initiative to try to bring up people to be politicians who aren't these just terribly flawed characters. So we're stuck voting for the likes of a Hillary or a Trump or a Pritzker. I mean, these people are just not good people, in my opinion, as quality Americans. There are many more.
What would much you rather, more. So you'd want that? Maybe
I want, all I want gather, people who are honest, John. That's what I'm to a point. Okay, to a point.
But you want a government agency to do this? So
No. I want both parties to come together. Just because we talk about this on the show, and I maybe dismissed this a little last time when we had the great Tom Serafin on. But we do need to realize that there are many more things that bring us together, and are much greater similarities between all of us on all sides of the aisle.
Yes,
and we need to be better people. We need to have better standards. We need to choose better leaders. And I think that's both parties should come together to do that.
That's so important, to choose better people. And once we grind our enemies into the dirt, cast their bones. Listen, what did Arnold Schwarzenegger say in the great movie Conan the Barbarian? What is best in life?
Mm-hmm.
To drive your enemies before you, to hear the lamentation of their women, you know, because I guess sit on a throne of skulls, right? like Genghis Khan.
Right.
So I don't think we're ever going to find this happy place.
I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, I think one of the things, and Utah and I talk about this all the time, and, you know, culture kind of leads the way, and it's until we get to that point where we're like, oh, you know, our culture is kind of flawed at the moment. You're right. Probably it's a pipe dream. So,
but hey, you know, man, I love you because we are flawed people. So we're going
right. to
give out flawed candidates.
Yeah. I just wish we had better standards. You know, I wish we saw the best people in the world and didn't tear them down. We'd spend our time supporting them, but that's not the world we live in, John. I'm an idealist.
No, we live in Chicago, or like you do. I don't want to excite the
right. Chicago adjacent, John.
Yeah, I'm Chicago adjacent now. But okay, let's. What about the people that are in the mayoral campaign?
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
I would much rather that Jeff Carlin and I sit in front of a fire in Tony Preckwinkle's house, you know, Queen of the Borg, Tony Preckwinkle, and we have tea and coffee. Maybe she could read us a story, like a story about Baba Yaga, the witch or something.
Sure.
But it's not going to happen.
No.
You know, Tony's shaping the campaign for mayor, because the campaign for mayor is all about crime.
Right.
That's the pressing issue. And I don't, that's why I wrote about her the other day, because I don't see the media doing anything other than, this is the Trib and the Sun-Times doing anything other than paying homage to Tony and by ignoring her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, since we last spoke, Chewie made it official, and he's in.
Garcia, U.S. Representative Garcia, is now a candidate.
Yeah.
So what does that do for Lori Lightfoot? She's all upset now.
Right. And there's some grumblings out there that it's more a big D play to nullify like a Ray Lopez type or other Latino or Latinx, if you want to get weird.
I don't use Latinx.
You know, Latin people don't even use Latin.
Yeah, I know. Only white liberals use
right?
It,
so, it's like our language. Yeah, that's we don't have to get into that. But yeah, exactly. So what do you think to that? I mean, do you think that that's the play? I mean, you know, politics is a long game, but is Chewie only in it just to be a ploy for the Democrats in Cook County?
I don't see, you know, think of all of them who are in it or have announced. Mm-hmm. What do they bring to the table other than tribalism or, I mean, most of them.
Right.
I mean, it's like I'm the liberal Jacob. I'm the black Jacobin candidate. The teachers union like me. Mm-hmm. I'm the Chapatista candidate, you know, right. All the people in that remember the boycotts mm-hmm. of produce like me. Back and forth. Right. But what does that do for the city of Chicago? What does that do to bring it forward? Nothing.
Nothing. Right. Another one of these things where it's like we had a good group of candidates who had already announced who were super local people who were having interest in it. You know, your Lopez's, your Vallis's of the world, even right. Your Cam Buckner's. I mean, the guy, he's got plenty of interest in the city. He's involved in the city, and so. You know, they were legitimate candidates in my mind, but a lot of people who have joined since to come across, like you said, they're like placeholders or they're pawns in a chess match, which I know is not new to Chicago and it's not new to politics in general.
Well, you're suggesting then that Chewie Garcia is that candidate running to what? To undercut Ray Lopez?
Yeah.
The Latino vote?
I think so. And
trying to dilute the Latino vote against Lori,
right.
Or I guess unite them in some way by.
I think just split them to marginalize them so that the CTU candidate and Brandon Johnson becomes the forerunner that runs the runoff, takes it to a runoff. That's my feel or read on it, just as it looks now, because I can't imagine the Democrats in Cook County letting the CTU put together a pretty strong candidate come out and then have also Chewie Garcia come out, you know, a month later, whatever it is. And, you know, now these two are going to be the ones that are going head to head. And it sounds like, because Chewie's got no risk. There's no risk here for Chewie. You know, he shows up at some events, he glad hands, he's got plenty of money.
He won his race, right?
Right. So there's no risk there for him.
And when he ran the last time, and I was for him the last time, if you recall.
Yeah.
You know, I like Chewie.
I like Chewie too. Yeah, me too.
But when we asked him, what is your financial plan?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll get back to you.
Right.
Hey, wait a minute, dude. This is not, you know, this is the mayoral campaign and you only have days to make a decision. And he didn't give anybody a chance to make that decision.
Right.
He was weak, and I don't see him getting stronger.
No. I mean, he certainly has, you know, he's grown as a candidate being in the House. But
what about Tom Tunney? Let's keep, you know, I love the sticky buns of Van Sanders restaurant. It is a famous restaurant, very tasty, good food. I've eaten there many times when we lived up there on the north side, stopped by. But yeah. You know, on my way not to Wrigley, to avoid Wrigley, but he dropped out too. He was flirting with it.
Yeah.
And dropped out.
Yeah. Wasn't there a former power player in City Hall touting his name everywhere by the name of Dick Mell? I mean, wasn't he the one who was going around?
Dick Mell. Yeah. Dick Mell. And then I brought up, did I do it on the podcast or just in the column where Dick Mell was a great fisherman.
I've been
fishing with
him. Talked on the podcast, yeah, for sure.
And I remember the gorgeous fish that he caught, twin fish in Costa Rica. You know, I was waiting for that to resurface, but it didn't. So Mel loses Tunney, but here's the thing, so does Brendan Riley.
Right.
Right. Because he was looking for somebody to run against Lori. Mm-hmm. You got somebody, guys. Little jealous white guys. his name, he's Greek, so maybe you don't think he's white. Paul Vallis is running.
Oh, I thought it was Hispanic. I thought it was the two Ls that make a Y. Vallis. Oh, my bad.
Vallis, yeah. Paul Vallis is running. Vallis or Vallis. And he's running on a platform of isolating Preckwinkle and her protege, Kim Fox, right, using home rule, Chicago yeah, home rule. In the Constitution to do which, so.
I know. Don't understand why we don't have it. More mayors don't do that, but anyway.
We have to examine this a little bit more. And two, going for full 100% school choice to give parents, particularly parents of school children, public school children, some hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, I mean, what, another, like, let's invest in the programs. Let's have more people running around with clipboards, making $70,000 a year, and your kids can't even read. You know, come on, stop.
Yeah, not to mention you're also spending millions on Safe Passage because, the city's violent.
So where do you see the mayoral race now? If Chewy's in, does that hurt Ray Lopez or what?
Yeah, I think it hurts Lopez. I mean, I know Lopez has got a lot of pull in being very active in the community, but I don't think he's going to have the money to face off against the Chewy. And again, I hate to reduce this down and be reductive in the sense where it's like, well, Latinos are only going to vote for that's obviously not the point. The point is that they generally vote, grouping wise. So it's history tells us. So I think it hurts him. And I think it doesn't make sense. I mean, I know Chewy ran once before and got close, but I just don't think this is.
He was close with Rahm Emanuel until Phil Ponce,
right,
of WTTW,
formerly of WTTW,
right, asked him the question, well, isn't your son a gangbanger?
Yeah,
that's not your son. You don't have one.
No, Rahm. But remember, there was a whole.
Oh, Rahm was. Yeah. Rahm's son was got in trouble by daddy for being out too late.
Right. He was adjacent to a drug deal. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're what? Right. That Ponce thing was.
I give Rahm credit for being a good father and taking care of his kids and doesn't need a bunch of Karens in the media or in politics to tell him how to run his family. And right. I'd be the same way.
Yeah, that's my point. It's like, I think it was that stuff is just drives me up the wall.
But Ponce,
yeah,
sticking it, with a smile to Chewy,
right?
That was something. That was almost delicious. The kind of thing that you wonder maybe WTTW. Then later, that is Winnetka talking to Wilmette, right? they came up with Latino voices, to do a public affairs show. Yeah. Wow, really? After that, after you stabbed the guy,
right? I know,
but that's how it works, right?
Yeah. And speaking of works, John, I think we need to bring this episode to a close because I'm sure people have had enough of us rambling together for one day. Right. Next time we meet, we will have the great Gary Fensick on to talk about. He's not just an ex-football player. He's a guy who's in business. He's been involved in the running the lottery in Illinois, which I want to pick his brain about Powerball because I've really, really
running the Bulls.
Yeah.
Has he run the Bulls too? I remember because a friend of his, Michael Ledwith, who's a writer for John Cass News, has recommended Gary. And I think Ledwith ran with the Bulls, which to me, is just too
right. Mind blown, right? I know that's who I'd love to read about it because that is crazy, and it comes right off the heels of For Whom the Bell Tolls, which I just finished, which is very good. I recommend it.
I do recommend it too because Ingrid Bergman played the little rabbit in that film. And she was perhaps the most beautiful woman next to my wife that I've ever seen in my
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
That and Cela Ward. Okay, two. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer WGN, master baker, master cat herder, and aficionado of all things space. And for me, John Cass, editor-in-chief of John Cass News, husband, father, Greek Orthodox Christian. And again, Jeff, I agree with you that we should hold Tom Serafin's words dear to our hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. And John, just so I don't get in any trouble, a master baker is probably an overreach, because I do work at a bakery and I'd hate to have the real bakers there take umbrage with me. But yes, I appreciate the master of pies.
you're pie man. Okay, I understand. And for me and Jeff, join us again next time, won't you? On your place, where you're going to hear real straight talk amidst a sea of barking dogs. In the No Chumbalone Zone.
Chumbalone.
On the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
Wrong! Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women. That is good. That is good.